it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Let it be real. Whatsoever you do for Jesus, let it be real. Let it be real. You say, let it be real. Yeah, whatsoever you do for Jesus,
let it be real.
Yeah,
let it be real.
Oh, when you pray,
let it be real.
When you whatsoever you do for Jesus,
let it be real.
Yeah,
let it be real.
Oh, when you serve,
let it be real.
When you serve,
let it be real.
Yeah, yeah, you do. Whatsoever you do for Jesus,
let it be real.
I'm almost ready. Let it be real.
Let it be real.
Oh, let it be real.
Let it be real.
Yeah, whatsoever you do for Jesus. Yeah, whatsoever you do for Jesus,
let it be real.
Yeah, let it be real. I mean that. I want it to be real. Because only what you do for Christ will last. I wouldn't have a religion. I just couldn't feel every now and then. I know it's important to be sophisticated, but I need to feel something when I come to church. And I'm glad my education hasn't extinguished my burning. And there are some folk that get so much edumacation, they can't feel nothing. I'm glad I got just enough. So y'all think I know what I'm talking about. But not enough to put my fire out. I love to be in church. Listen, there's a word in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10 that I need to wrap up my thoughts on today. Mark chapter 8, that first verse starts off saying, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the seven loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. I want to wrap up my thoughts today on lessons from the feeding of the 4,000, part two. You remember on last week, I was talking about how we should work on compassion and following leadership. Under compassion, I told us that Jesus had a great crowd of people around him, and we ought to be crowd builders for Jesus. It ought to just be part of our routine to invite and bring people to the Jesus crowd. And once they get here, we ought to do all we can to make sure this is a place of teaching, helping, and compassion. For where there is no love, God has nothing to do with it. Without love, it profits us nothing. And then I told us to join a Jesus crowd and stay focused on Jesus. If you join the Jesus crowd and spend all your time looking at the crowd, you're going to be so confused. But if you can join the Jesus crowd and keep Jesus on your mind, you can walk away with not only fish sandwich, but all that your life stands in need of. On last week, I told us about following leadership. Jesus told the people to sit down, and they sat down. Jesus told the disciples, put the fish and bread before the people, and they followed those instructions. And as a result, there was more than enough. And I reminded us on last week that God still sends sinners to lead his people. I know we want God to send people who are so holy that their angels have popped out in halos around their head, but the Lord keeps sending Abrahams and Davids and Pauls and others. But if we could learn how to love God enough and trust God enough to follow the one he has sent, God is able to give us more than we stand in need of. Share with us, if you're going to be a good helper, you got to learn how to follow the leader's instructions, even when they don't make a whole lot of sense to you. If Jesus would have asked for a motion, I'm sure Peter would have said, I so moved these people go back home, because we ain't got enough bread and fish to feed them. But the Lord did not move by the will of the people. He moved by what the Father put on his heart. And the helpers helped by following the instructions. The people had enough sense to know that eating the bread and fish that Jesus had given to his disciples was just like eating bread and fish out of the hand of Jesus himself. You do read the text and see that Jesus did not walk around and feed 4,000 himself. Jesus gave fish and bread to 12, and the 12 put the fish and bread before the people, and the people came and ate from the hand of delegated authority. The church will never be at its maximum if we think the pastor is the only one who knows how to pray. Somebody ought to say amen. In order for the church to be at its maximum, we got to understand that God has blessed us with a number of people and can do a number of things well if we can just learn how to stay in our lanes. Mm-hmm. Now, today, I want to talk about three M's. The first one is more than enough. The second one is men. And then the third one is moving by God's agenda. That's what I want to talk about today, how God has more than enough, still wants a man in the Jesus crowd, and how we ought to move by God's agenda. Did you notice that all of the men, women, and children ate their share of fish and their fill of bread, and there was more at the end than when they started? It was more than enough. And I'm here to tell you that God is still able to give us more than enough. He sees that we have some basic needs, food, clothing, shelter. And what I want to tell you is you don't have to worry about God running out of stuff before he meets our needs. Because after all, right now and today, God owns a cattle upon a thousand hills. He owns the hills that the cattle are on, and he owns the earth that the hills are on. I heard and read the deed in Psalms 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, and it is a lean, free deed. Lord, don't owe anybody on it. He can supply all of our needs. And then, not only can he supply more than enough of our basic needs, but then he can supply more than enough of our higher needs. You know, after you have enough food, clothing, and shelter, it no longer motivates you. It loses its influence over you. After your physiological needs, Maslow would call it, have been satisfied, you move to a higher order of need. We have a need to be fulfilled. Want to feel as if life is worth living and I'm making a contribution to life. You need peace and you want joy. You want to hope in something. And what I'm here to tell you is if we can line up on God's will for our life, God can supply more than enough for all of these areas. You will discover, some will learn early, some will learn late, some may never learn, that God has made us in such a way that we will never be satisfied and we will surely never be fulfilled until we line up with God's will for our life. Now, Solomon shares with us in the book of Ecclesiastes a man's journey to try to find out what is the duty of a person. Y'all remember Solomon? He went out and got into all of these drunken stupors and found out that's nothing but vanity. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines or official girlfriends, and he said, it's nothing but vanity. He went out and read all of the books he can get his hands on and discovered that was vanity. And then at the end of his journey, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, he says, this is the whole duty of a person, to fear God and to keep his commandments. If you want your life to be fulfilling, if you want to feel as if you are living at a maximum instead of a minimum, if you want to live as if you are God's special creature and not just one of the many creations on this planet, you must line up with God's will for your life. And then there are others who look for joy. And you know, every time you go looking for joy, you can't find it. But if you get focused on God's will for your life, joy will come and find you. You won't find it, but it will find you when you obey his word. John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11, John 15, 10 and 11 says that as we obey the commands of God, then our joy will be made full. Did you hear what I said? And then some people need more peace in their life. Every time you go looking for peace, peace will hide on you. But if you line up with God's word, then peace will be dropped into your spirit. I heard Philippians 4:7 says, he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And then hope If you're looking for something to hope in, you cannot hope in the things of this world. Haven't you learned by now that the things of this world are sinking sand? Many of us watch King James, James LeBron. We were praying that he would come back in the second half. Then, if not the second half, then surely LeBron James can come in the fourth quarter and bail us out again. But it did not happen. They lost. Unpredictable. Last year, we were all washing our hands feverishly, trying to make sure H1N1 don't get me. And we braced ourselves. We went out and got immunizations and got shots. As much as we hate needles, we went and got shots because we were told that when springtime come, it would come back worse than what we see now. And here we are now, and ain't nobody even talking about H1N1. And then there are others who can't really talk loud, but you've discovered that birth control don't control birth. Keep on moving, Reverend. What I'm trying to tell you is, you cannot count on the things of this world. But when you line up with God's word and will for your life, even without trying, you'll find yourself meditating on passages like, "And we know all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose." Even without trying, the song will just come up in your spirit. We'll understand it better by and by. All I've been trying to tell you so far is that God has more than enough of our basic and higher needs if we line up with his word. I'm moving on now to talk about men. Y'all still here? Men. It caught my preaching attention this time that it was 4,000 men. I'm trying to underline men in your thinking. Scholars would have us to know that there were women and children in the crowd, but they counted the adult males, the men. And my brothers and my sisters, I want to say up front, we don't want to take anything away from the women. And we don't want to take anything away from the children. But God needs some more men in the Jesus crowd. And brethren, God can help us meet our responsibilities if we let him have his way in our lives. Look at what happened in the text. It was the men's responsibility to make sure their family had something to eat. If you're the head, if you're in charge, you want to run something, you boss, then you need to make sure that your family got something to eat. But here they are in the crowd. Food has ran low. They've been listening to Jesus for 3 days and time has gotten away from them, and they are low on food. But because they lined up with God's will for their life, the Lord gave them more than enough to meet their responsibilities. And brethren, I'm here to tell you that the Lord can make us into the men that we really want to be. He can give us the wherewithal to not only find and keep a job, not only the wherewithal to open and keep open a profitable business, not only the wherewithal to be godly single men, not only godly fathers and godly husbands, but the Lord can make us church men. Everybody's not gonna be a preacher. Everybody's not gonna be a deacon, but he can make us just good Christian church men. He can make us assets in our community. We're not gonna all be the mayor, but some of us can just be a good mentor a good tutor, a good volunteer, a good neighbor in our community, God can help us be the men that many of us really want to be. But then, sisters, y'all listening? God can help men be the men that many of you all want us to be. If you can help the brothers get in the Jesus crowd and help the brothers help Jesus have control over their life, then Jesus can help us be the men that many of you all want us to be. I'm very intentional about many women want us to be, because it's unfortunate but true. Many women don't want no strong Christian man. Now I'm just gonna preach here for a little while. There are some women who have become codependent on dysfunction. You wouldn't know what to do with your husband if he was sober all the time. You've gotten used to him being drunk. When he's drunk, you're in control. You wouldn't know what to do with a man who went to work and came home after work, made sure bills were paid, money is in the bank, making sure that the refrigerator has plenty of food in it, make sure children got lunch money. For some, it would drive y'all crazy. You've become codependent on dysfunctional men. If they ever became strong Christian men, it would change your whole life, because you are used to doing more than you ought to do if it was a healthy partnership between you and your man. And then there are others who have been abused, or you have witnessed enough abuse that you intentionally find you a little man who you can control and keep him from abusing you. As you've been abused in the past, or you seen mama or auntie them being abused by. So you go get you a wee little man. Somebody you can keep your thumb on. Somebody who just loves the ground you walk on, and you dog him and you keep him in his place to make sure he never even think about abusing you. If he ever became a strong Christian man, you would lose your mind. There are others who are control freaks. You're a traffic cop. You're never satisfied. Preach, Pastor. You look for men who you can control. If you ever ran into a man with a backbone, you'll walk away. You need a spineless man to satisfy your craving for power and control. You saw your mama being overly controlled by your daddy, and you made up in your mind as a young girl, ain't gonna never let no man have that much control over me. So you went and found you a spineless man. I'm running this house. If that man ever stepped up and said, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord, you would have been stuck on the first clause. My house? You didn't even hear serve the Lord. You got stuck on my house. What you mean, my house? The best you can say is our house. My name is on the deed. My name is on the title. I'm paying the note up in here. What you talking about, my house? You ain't running nothing up in here. That-
Some women don't want no strong Christian man. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. You remember David's wife, one of his wives, named Michal. She didn't want David going around there talking about he in love with the Lord, praising God, dancing all over the place. And the truth being told, there are women who come to church who don't want their man to be in love with Jesus and don't want their man to be faithful to the church. Because if they love Jesus and are faithful to the church, the fear is that they will be out of your control. They will not dance to your music, that their affections will be split. Everybody don't want their husband in church. This your hangout. If your husband was here, you would have to act different. Preach, Pastor, preach. But thank God, there are some women who would love to have a strong Christian man. Praise the Lord. There are some women who they did not desire to be as strong and as independent as they are. It was thrust upon them by the circumstances of their life. When they were girls, they dreamed of marrying somebody where they could be in partnership and live happily ever after. But things happened, and the clock was ticking, and somebody had to raise these children we got around here. Somebody had to go get a real job. Somebody had to have enough sense to stop wasting all this money on rent and as well go and buy a house. Somebody had to have enough credit rating in order to get the loan to buy the house. It's not that they were so hungry for power. It was thrust upon them by the circumstances of their life. If they could do it all over again, they would rather be strong and interdependent than to be so strong and independent. Somebody in here got enough sense to know we can do better together. All of this gender hate that we have towards one another is just a bunch of foolishness. God has made male and female in his image. He created them, not just him. He told them to have dominion over the earth. He didn't just tell him to have dominion. He said them. Somebody got enough sense to see that our families could be better if we were in partnership with one another. Our churches could be better if we were in partnership with one another. Our communities could be better if we were in partnership with one another. And you know, partnership don't equal marriage. That's not what I'm talking about. Sometimes we need what I call platonic sibling partnership. Platonic, it's not a sexual partnership, it's a sibling partnership. It's not husband and wife, it's brother and sister working for a common good. Now this ought not be strange. Any student of history know that it was platonic sibling partnership that fueled the civil rights struggle. If it were not for women working with men, we would have never marched on Washington. Now you look at all the pictures and you see the men at the mic. Any one of those men, if you were to interview them, if they told the truth, no, they wouldn't have been up there if it wasn't for some women who let them go up there. And you know what? As quiet as it's kept, Southern wouldn't be where it's at right now if it wasn't for some platonic sibling partnership. Now we stand up here and put our chests out all we want, talking about we the men. Brethren, if the women get up and leave right now, I'm going with them. that wherever they're going, I'm going to find out where they're going, and I'm going to run and get in front of them and say, come on now, let's get along. We've made it here by partnership. Don't get this thing twisted. God has allowed us to be the head because somebody had to be the head. But don't get this thing twisted. It's not because we're so much smarter. It's not because we got so much more wisdom. It's just that God has a plan. If you line up with the plan, he has more than enough. But when we twist this thing around and get out of position, we find ourselves starving in the crowd. I must close. Talking now about moving by God's agenda. Y'all still here? I tried to say something about more than enough, and men, I'm closing right now, talking about moving by God's agenda. As marvelous as things went in our text, did y'all see Jesus is moving in verse 10? He does not stay there. It's time to go. The Father has more for him to do, and therefore he moves by God's agenda. And I say to us today that we ought not get distracted by our circumstances. We ought to always seek the face of God and seek the wherewithal to follow his face. And I want to tell you that God has a special agenda, a special plan for everybody sitting up in here today. And your prayer ought to be, Lord, help me see what you want to do with my life. I may very well be preaching right now to one of the future members of our city council. I may be preaching right now to one of our next police chiefs, or to one of our next business owners, or one of the brilliant physicians of tomorrow. You never know what God is going to do through you. In fact, this is a good place to put something I read in Facebook. I heard that my situation does not dictate my destination. It's just preparation. What I'm going through does not determine where I'm going. Only thing it does is make me stronger so that when I get to where God wants me to be, I'll be ready to handle my situation. Somebody better pay me some mind up in here. Some of you all think you are at your destination, and this is nothing but a transfer point. You getting comfortable in the bus station. Baby, this ain't your house. You just on a little furlough. This is just a hold me over type spot. But the next bus is coming, and you need to make sure you know where your ticket is. And don't forget where you're trying to go. And I think I ought to tell you that you got to keep moving with God's agenda. You can't fall in love with place. Stay in love with God. Don't fall in love with resources. Stay in love with the source of your resources. Whenever you get disconnected from your source, your resources run out. Fish and loaves run out when God has left the feeding ground. You gotta stay with the Lord so that when you pray, he adds fish to fish and loaves to loaves. But when you're staying and God have left, your prayer bounce off the ceiling. But that's not all. Not only does God have special plans, special agendas for us, but I close now by telling us God has some general agendas, general plan, general expectation of our lives. If you're saved, I think I ought to tell you that the Lord has a plan for you to move from being just a member to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, the Lord is not satisfied with you just showing up, watching the choir sing, watching the pastor preach. It's time for you to grow up to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then, if you ever move from from membership to discipleship, you will still hear the voice of God calling you from being a minimum disciple to being a maximum disciple. You know, there are some people who do as little as they can for the Lord. But when you listen to the voice of the Lord, He always calls you to come on up a little higher. And I say to you, Southern, the Lord is calling somebody to come on up and be a manager, because there's so much ministry that we need to be doing. The Lord must be calling somebody else to come on up and be a teacher, because there is so much curriculum that the people of God need to hear. And then the Lord must be calling somebody to be a follow-up worker. Just somebody who can call at the right time and say the right thing to help people realize life is better in the Jesus crowd than it is in the world all by yourself. Yeah, every time somebody walks down this aisle and saying, I want to be a member of this Jesus crowd. Yeah, we need people who can latch on to them and make sure they don't come in the front door and just walk right on out the back door. Did you hear me? And if by chance the Lord has not called you to be a manager or a teacher, then surely the Lord has called you to be a worshiper. If you are saved today, you ought to have it in your spirit that you have a Christian duty today to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His court with praise. Yeah, if the choir never sings your song, and if the deacon never pray your prayer, if the pastor never preach your sermon, then you ought to still have an amen when you come through the door. You ought to still have a praise the Lord and a thank you, Jesus. Yes, my Lord. Every time we come, yes, there ought to be people that don't have to wait for the praise team. You ought not have to wait until the second half of the worship service. You ought not have to wait until the pastor gets a growl in his voice. But when you roll up on the parking lot and think about how good the Lord has been just this week, you ought to start shouting out in the parking lot. Yes, my Lord. When you think about how the last time we met, the Lord walked with you. Yes. Come on and walk with me now. Last Sunday, on Mother's Day, when we left here, anything could have happened to us. We could have walked out here and missed a step and fell down these concrete steps of ours, but the Lord steadied our feet on every step. We could have went outside, put the key in the ignition, and if you knew how close gasoline was to spark plug, you would never start your car again. But the Lord kept the spark where the spark belonged, and kept gas vapors where gas vapors belong. Yes, my Lord. When we started our car and drove down the street, the brakes did not have to work, but God put his foot on your foot and stopped the car at every stop sign and every red light. Ain't God all right? Then we went home and put the lock on the lock on our door, turned on our security system, but it was not the locks, it was not the security system, it was not our dog, it wasn't our gun by our side, but it was angels all night and all day watching over us. But that's not all the Lord did for us. I'm just talking about this week, that Sunday, y'all. But guess what happened on Monday? He woke us up, started us on a brand new day. Ain't God all right? Gave us breakfast, gave us lunch, gave us dinner, and gave us snacks on Monday, y'all. And then we went home and put our head on the pillow in the arms of the Lord. And on Monday night, he rocked us in his arms of love. And early Tuesday morning, he woke us up. It wasn't the alarm clock, but it was the love of our Lord. He took care of us all day and all night on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, he took care of us, even though he knew most of us was not even thinking about prayer meeting or Bible study. He kept on taking care of his children. Thursday was no different. Friday, he kept on taking care of us, even though he knew about our plans for Friday night. He kept on taking care of us. If we was God, we would have let some of us die where we were on Friday night. But God's ways are not like our ways. So he woke us up on Saturday afternoon, yes, my Lord, and watched over us all night, Saturday night. Let me give you a hint here. Let me help your children. Because some of us want to act so churchy. But listen, when you go to the club and they put the stamp on the back of your hand, you can't just wash it one time. You got to scrub that off. Because when you raise your hand, talk about hallelujah, folk can still see the stamp on your hand. But thank God, he let us come into the house of the Lord this morning.
We owe him our best in praise. Let me close here. But God is calling us to move from membership to discipleship, from minimum to maximum. And then he's calling us to help our church move from good to greater. Yes, he is. And it takes all of us to be a greater church. Yes, my Lord. This is where I want to tell you about this devilish baby grand piano that we had. We came down here on yesterday trying to clean up some stuff. Yes, my Lord. Brother Thomas had cleaned out this great big room, but he left a baby grand piano. And let me testify, they don't make the baby grands today like they made them years ago. I don't think I'm a weakling. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm surely not as fast as I used to be. But I thought I could at least handle my end. I reached down and grabbed the side of that baby grand piano. That baby grand just laughed at me and said, "You think you're strong enough to move me?" So we went and got some help. Took about 4 men to get the thing from the room to the dumpster. Yes, my Lord. We got to the dumpster and we wanted to put the baby grand in the dumpster. The thing was parked so we couldn't open the door. We had to pick it up and throw it in the dumpster. Yes, my Lord. Daddy told me, "Pastor, ain't no way we're gonna pick up that baby grand piano and throw it in the dumpster." I said, "Come on, Daddy, let's at least try." You grab your end, I grab my end. Just do the best you can. If we make it, fine and good. If we don't make it, no problem. We reached down and grabbed that piano. We couldn't move the piano 1 foot off the ground. Every time we grunted, the piano laughed at us. Yes, my Lord. And you know, I didn't want to be defeated by some piano.
Yes.
But I tried, I huffed, and I puffed, and that piano kept laughing at me. I got to the point where I felt as if I'd given it the best I could. It was a bitter, it was a nasty pill to swallow. But this piano is gonna beat us today. But right before I threw in the towel, light came around the corner with a great big crowbar. Dale found a sledgehammer from somewhere, and we started working on that baby grand piano. We even got Deacon Moore to put his coffee down and help us
break up the baby grand piano down, swung on that piano. That piano began to break into pieces. We couldn't do it all at one time, but piece by piece, man by man, we broke it down and threw it in that dumpster. It was much more than one man could handle. It was much more than a few men could handle. We had to change our plan. We had to change our approach. But we stayed with that thing. We worked it out and put it in the dumpster. And Sullivan, if we're gonna be what the Lord is calling us to be, you can't expect one man. You can't expect a few men. All of us gotta work together. And sometimes we gotta change our plan. What we used to do may have worked then, but that was then. And this is now. We gotta change the plan. It's crazy to keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. Yes, my Lord, I'm through when I tell you, I thought that was the end of my sermon. I had saved my document. I'd put a check mark on my list next to sermon preparation. I was through with the text, but the Lord told me to tell y'all, tell my people, yes, I can do great things with 4,000 men, but don't ever get it twisted. I only need one. I don't need 4,000. Little becomes much in the master's hand. I told the Lord, you're gonna have to help me make it plain. He said, just go back and tell them what I did with one man named Noah. Go back and tell them what I did with one man named Abraham. Go back and tell them what I did in one man's life by the name of David. He did all of this without the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What in the world can't God do with 100 men who are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? I heard Paul put it like this. He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever we ask, whatsoever we think. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not yet entered the hearts of men what God has prepared for those who love him. We can do it if we work together. We can do it if we pull together. We can do it if we don't quit. If we don't quit on God, God won't quit on us. I wish I had a witness. Anybody here know he's able? He's able. He's able. He's able. To take our little, turn it into much. Ain't God all right? Yeah. 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 More than enough. God has more than enough. If we can just line up with his will for our life. If we can get in the Jesus crowd and let Jesus do whatever he want to do, there will be more than enough. We might not see how we would ever do it, but thank God there's somebody else in the picture besides us. God will add his favor and his strength to our faith and to our work if we would just try to do it his way. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day to come on over on the Lord's side. God has more than enough for you, your family, your loved ones. More than enough if you trust him. Come on while you can. Today's a good day to come and get right with God. Bless you, sis. Bless you. Today's a good day to come and say, yes, Lord. My brother, come on. My sister, come on.